Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, U.S. Rate Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, June 17th, 2020. Welcome back, John. During Chair Powell's semi-annual testimony in front of Congress this week, he mentioned two recent and very positive data surprises: the May employment report, which we discussed with you last week, and the May retail sales report. Let's take a deep dive into retail sales. What were your main takeaways, and on a granular basis, what surprised you?
Thanks, John. It's great great to be back with everyone. So a lot of things to discuss and how we can tie this all into the view on the Fed and the view on the interest rate yield curve. So let's just jump right into it. So the May retail sales report was just remarkably strong. And, considering how many states had been reopened at the time, and they were in various stages of reopening, and some of the largest states and some of the largest cities had not reopened, it was a staggeringly good retail sales report. I mean, the consensus was looking for something around 7, and it's sort of 7%, but it sort of inched its way up to about 8%, 8.4% growth. We were about a point or so ahead, higher than that. But the actual gain was 17%. So that's just really, really good. What's kind of surprising when you really dig into it was the strength in the consumer spending on durable goods was just remarkable. I mean, very, very strong bounce backs in spending on autos and on parts for autos, repairs and the like, furniture spending, spending on electronics, and the building materials. Again, that's home improvements for most people. A lot of repairs that people were doing. The spending on home repairs looks like it hasn't even suffered a decline in the second quarter. So there's just some really remarkable things. Beyond that, the spending on non-durables was pretty solid. Broadly speaking, very solid. Apparel had an outstanding month, and sporting goods and things like that. But in general, I think what you could say, and I think what should be the most important thing is, you know, when we look at various components of the retail sales, consumer spending overall, if things continue on the trajectory they're on, it looks like they're going to be back to about 70-75% overall by the end of this year, in terms of where we were in January, you know, December, January, February, pre-pandemic. So that's just remarkable. Some sectors like general merchandise, it should be 100% recovered. And again, the spending on home repairs and the like, that should be well over 100% recovered. The gasoline looks like it's going to be around 75% recovered and the like. So it's just a very broad-based good picture, but it does not mean that the Fed is done. And it does not mean that the fiscal policy is done, because to get to that year-end point of all that positivity, we're going to need not just further reopening and not just some pretty good luck on COVID, but we're also going to need, we think, just continued activism by both fiscal policy makers and the Fed and the monetary policy makers.
Thanks for that. Given the consumer is roughly 2/3 of GDP, how does that report influence your outlook for Q2, Q3, full year 2020, and 2021 growth?
Okay, so this, we were looking for, we had a pretty strong second half recovery built into our viewpoint. That was part of the basis for our 230 steepener call. But for us, it looks like the consumer spending, instead of being down, say, 49 or 50% in the second quarter, looks more like it's going to be down around, you know, somewhere closer to 40 to 44%. And that means GDP for the current quarter, second quarter, should be like minus 35% or even better, you know, something like minus 33, minus 30. So something in that range. Previously, we were thinking it's closer to minus 40%, that kind of stuff. But for the second half, we continue to think that GDP looks like it's tracking 25% gain and change, like 23, 25.4%, something like that, in the third quarter, and a follow-on the fourth quarter of a really solid 7% gain. So what it looks like in our models, it looks like we have what we would call front-loaded rebound to GDP, where a lot of the rebound occurs over the next 6 to 9 months, Whereas in the Fed's SEP projections, they have us landing harder this year. So for this year, we have us down like maybe 4.5% for this year. The Fed has us down 6.5% year on year for this year. So the Fed, and then the Fed has us rebounding much more next year. So the Fed has kind of a backloaded view on growth. We have more of a front-loaded view on growth, that we really jumpstart this year, then we stay, you know, well above trend, 3.5%, that kind of thing, or a little better for next year. And then we kind of settle down towards trend over 2022 and 2023. So that's our profile. I think everything is fitting with that. Again, about, for the second half, 25%, third quarter, 7% and change for the fourth quarter, and then really pretty decent growth. Again, as we've highlighted over and over, the risk to the outlook is the uncertainty, or as Chair Powell calls it, the unknowable surrounding COVID. And that's just a, you know, staggering tail risk either way. And I wouldn't bias people's views to think that only there's can only be a negative COVID surprise. There could be, you know, very well a positive COVID surprise.
Got it. Chair Powell appeared pleased by early signs of the reopening of the economy, the reopening phase, as he called it. What do you think the Fed will do over the coming, let's say, 1 to 2 years? And what are the implications of that on your 2s30s yield curve steepener call?
So, in terms of the yield curve steepener call, just to fix everything, we're not expecting inflation to come back. So that's not the driver of our call. But what we were thinking would happen was that growth would be, the growth pickup would be pretty good in the near term and in the intermediate term. But that a good amount of that growth is conditional upon even more and greater stimulus from the fiscal policymakers, which means, you know, bigger treasury auctions, larger debt to GDP ratios, bigger deficits, and the like. So it just adds up to all those kinds of things that we think, weigh on investors, you know, very long dated, treasury investors' minds. So for the Fed, you know, Chair Powell made it very, very clear. He said, look, we're going to keep our foot on the gas pedal, not just this year, but this year, next year, and most likely the year beyond, and possibly beyond that. But he's put up a very high hurdle for the Fed. And the way to think about it is he said, and people, we were really actually thankful that they've understood the things in this way. But he said, you know, when we saw 3.5% unemployment rate pre-pandemic, when we saw that rate, he said we had expected some, you know, a fair amount of wage inflation, and we expected that to fit into consumer. But he said we did get the wage inflation for low and moderate income people, but we really didn't get a whole lot beyond that, and it was more like trend there. And so he said as a result, we really didn't quite get the inflation that we were had been expecting. So he said going forward, he said that's our objective. Our objective is to restore that 3.5% unemployment rate. And because of all the benefits it confers on not just individuals and families, but on the communities that they live in and the like. So we 100%, as we mentioned before, we 100% agree with Chair Powell. So for us, that means the front end of the yield curve very much pinned, despite some of these good news that periodically come out and surprise us, front end rates pinned for the next, you know, 1 to 2, you know, possibly longer, 3 years. But yet a lot of that good news is going to get built into the back end yield. And for us, that means, you know, 30-year bond yields moving back up towards 2% and that yield curve steepening to like 170, 175 basis points, that kind of thing. So we still think that that's the right core strategic view to have. As we all know, if COVID turns nasty next winter and we have another lockdown, all bets are off. That would be a big risk off event, as we all know, and be very sad for the U.S. economy. But I think what people should just do is kind of take things a little bit more positively. We're on the right path. We're gathering the momentum, and that should support a further steepening of the curve. But it's also very good for the economic healing of the country.
That's great analysis, John. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.